My name is Ryan Edberg. I am from Nashville, Tennessee, and we are part of the Kingdom Movement. We've been going around for the last 3 years doing youth conferences all over the country, and just seeing God do a mighty work in the younger generation. And so it's my privilege and honor to be here with you guys. Thank you for bringing us in, and thank you to all the churches that have come together for this. So it's awesome when churches come together. That's why we call it a kingdom.
Amen.
Is because all churches, denominations coming together for one purpose. Sometimes we can put aside our petty little differences and focus on the main point. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we are battling each other when the enemy's winning.
Wow.
Yeah. We can come together and agree that we're in a lost generation that needs a savior.
Amen.
So let's circle around that.
Amen.
Well, last night I did talk about a lot of foundation, and I just talked about I don't even know what was my message on last. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just testing you. We were talking a lot about last night, just shalom and what that means and what it talks about. What Jesus paid, the right side of the cross, and that is all done and finished through Jesus.
Amen.
We don't have to come and beg to him anymore.
No.
That we come as sons and daughters. I love the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to talk about that even a little bit later in the week. But the Lord's Prayer, I love when the disciples came in there like, teach us how to pray.
Amen.
Teach us to pray.
Yeah.
The first thing he says is, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father. Stop right there. That changes everything.
Yeah.
Jesus just changed the rule by saying, when you come, start with Our Father. A lot of us are saying, God, if you can hear me.
Yeah.
You know, let's put aside our Father issues for the moment. All of the bad stuff from our life, and put aside all of our daddy issues.
Yeah.
A good father is a good father.
Amen.
And we serve a good father.
Amen.
And when we look to him and we come forward and we start to pray and we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, we don't have to beg or plead for anything.
Yeah. Come on.
We don't have to beg God for anything. We come and say, Dad, I need this. And he answers our prayer.
Amen.
I love that. So the right side of the cross, we're preaching from the right side of the cross that it is all done and finished in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, I want to go back to the beginning tonight. I want to talk about Genesis a little bit.
All right.
I want to talk about dominion, because it changes everything. We've got a teaching going through the church like crazy that God is just in control of everything that happens. God is all controlling, but God is not a control freak.
No.
God gave us free will. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't believe me, just look at the world out there. There's free will out there.
Right.
There's a lot of people making their own choices out there. Amen? And so God is giving us free will, because without that, I heard, well, why didn't God just make everybody just love him? Like, wouldn't that be easier? You know, you can't have real love if there's no choice.
Amen. Come on. Come on.
It's true. You can't have true love if there's not a choice. So the people that love God, they choose to love God.
Amen.
And that's real love.
Yeah.
We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
But there's this big teaching that anything that happens is the will of God. Everything that happens, you know, and it makes weak Christians. It makes people angry. And when people talk about that, well, it's just the sovereignty of God. Well, if you're going to believe in the sovereignty of God, you've got to define the word sovereignty, because I believe in the sovereignty of God, that he is holy and righteous, and he is a good God. But do I believe that he's controlling everything like this wizard or like Thanos that just snaps his fingers and changes everything? No, I don't believe that. We're going to show you that through scripture over and over and over tonight, because it changes everything for you.
Yeah.
If we think that God's just controlling everything, sometimes as Christians we sit back and we let the devil pound us.
Yeah.
Come on.
It says that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Sometimes we're getting stolen from, we're getting killed, we're out there just getting beat up, and we're like, well, man, God, if this is your will, then what are you trying to teach me through this?
Yeah. Yeah.
The church is crazy today.
Yeah.
But not in here, right?
No.
So I had this, I get on this so much because, you know, we read the book of Job, and then we hear Job say, well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And then we write songs that say, He gives and takes away. Well, didn't you realize that at the end of that chapter, God scolded Job for saying that? And Job said, I have spoken without wisdom. I'll never speak again. And he just cowers back. But we today were like, oh, Job said that. He gives and takes away. You're like, what? You're seeing what Job's saying after God scolded him? Really? Read the book. I think you'll like it. It's a good book. It's a number one seller. It's an older book, but I think you'll like it. Spoiler alert, we win at the end.
Amen.
Just wreck the book
Amen.
For you. We just pick little phrases out of the Bible and not understanding the full Bible. We make a doctrine off of a scripture that we read. Well, Job's wife said, we'll just curse God and die. Why don't we sing that? I mean, what, you're just going to pick and choose? What, I want to sing from the right side of the cross that Jesus paid it all. Amen?
Amen.
Let's rejoice and praise God instead of, well, I'm nothing, Lord. I'm just so poor and broken. What? You know, we pray prayers that don't even make sense. Lord, here we are. Come be with us.
Yeah.
I said, I'd never leave you or forsake you. Open the book. Lord, rend the heavens and come down. That's Bible.
Yeah.
But he says, I'm with you now. I've given you the Spirit without measure.
Yeah.
We're living in a new time.
Amen.
Amen.
From the top to the bottom. Hallelujah.
Woo. It's different. And we pray things that we just feel are good.
Yeah.
And it's not Bible. We're in a new time. I want to show you dominion here. In Genesis, back to the beginning. You know there's power in the word. Amen? And when you read the word and you understand the word and then you put the word into practice, there's life in it. Even Paul, we talked about it a little bit last night, but Paul said the word did no effect to them. There was no effect to them because it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't grab the word. So tonight, grab the word by faith. If there's anything that I'm saying that you disagree with, that's all right. Go to the word. If I say anything that's not in the word, throw it out. If I say something in the word and you disagree with it, go back and start studying the word. Because at first when I started to hear stuff like this, I'm like, I don't even know if I agree with that. And once you see things, it starts to open up to you. You ever get like a new car or a used car? And so we bought this Ford Flex. Why did I buy it? Because I've got a billion kids. And it's not a minivan. I do not look that cool driving a minivan. But I have to, because I've got four kids. But the Ford Flex has all these seats. So I'm like, sweet. It's not quite very, it's not cool. But at least it's not a minivan. So I drive in it, and they're like, I still look like a soccer mom. But I didn't know much about Ford Flex. I didn't know anything about it. This is not a sales pitch for the Ford Flex. But once I bought a Ford Flex, I noticed that everybody else in the world drives a Ford Flex. You ever notice that when you get a car and you've never seen it before, and then you notice like, well, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. So when you see something in Scripture, you are now in tune with it, and you start to read through Scripture, and you're like, oh, that backs it up. This backs it up. Oh, that backs it up. And it just blows your mind. You start to read Scripture that you've read 100 times, and now it makes sense.
Right.
It's just like that.
Yes.
Yep. Come on.
So I'm going to show you guys a few things here. Going back to Genesis. In Genesis 1:26 through 28, it says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. See, he's kind of like Dr. Seuss here, but follow me. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God repeated himself several times here. But what he's saying is, I've created you. I've made earth. Now have dominion of it.
Yeah.
This is yours. It is a gift. You see, God had heaven already. He could have placed us in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, we talk with a lot of youth, and they're like, why would an all-loving God send somebody to hell? My question, or my answer is, he wouldn't. Do people go to hell? Yes. Would God send you there? No, you were already on your way there. an all-loving God would send his son to die. Woo. So you have an option from hell. That's what it's about. You see, they ask, well, why would an all-loving God do that? No, you're thinking about it all wrong. You see, hell was never made for you. It was never created for you. That was not God's intent. By following Satan, we're following him where he's headed.
Yeah, amen.
Come on, brother. Come
and God
on.
Made come a way on, to stop and align and say, no, don't go there. Hallelujah. This is a way out. Yeah. Follow me.
Amen.
I've got something better. Think
Hallelujah.
About this.
Thank you, Lord.
God didn't even create heaven for you.
No.
He created this.
Yes.
This was for you. This was your gift. He could have put us in heaven. In fact, when he comes again, it says that he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes, ooh. Amen.
Yeah.
You were meant to subdue and take dominion. Be fruitful and multiply. That was God's plan. Be fruitful and multiply. We screwed it up by going to work now every day. We wouldn't have to do that. We would just have to be fruitful and multiply. Cover the kids' ears. I'll tell you what fruitful is. There's not a lot of rules by God. Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion. Name the animals. You know, I could check into work from 9 to 5 with that. Giraffe. Dog. I'm going to take a break. Alligator. You know, he didn't have a lot of rules. You see, have you ever thought about it? Why did the devil come? So the devil's plan from the beginning was to destroy mankind.
Yeah.
That's his plan from the beginning. Destroy mankind. Did you ever think, like, why didn't the devil, like, instead of deceiving Eve to eat the fruit, why didn't he deceive Eve to just kill Adam? Do you ever think about that? Like, that seems like a shorter book to me. Like, hey, kill Adam. Okay, now there's just one lady, and I don't know what to do. So, but the devil couldn't do that. Why? Because what was God's command? Be fruitful and multiply, and don't eat of that tree.
Come on.
So the only thing the devil could do is go against the word of God. There was not rules that said, don't kill, do not do this. The law hadn't come yet.
Amen.
The devil, the only thing that he could do was go against the word of God that said, thou shalt not eat of that tree.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing
that
he, hey, I know what I can do. I'll get them to eat of that tree.
Yeah.
That was the only thing. God's plan from the beginning was for us to have dominion. And by us listening to the devil, we gave over our dominion to the devil. I'm going to go and read you all this scripture, and I hope you really pick up on this. See, we talk about in church all the time the love of God.
Yes.
The love of God, the love of God, the love of God. And then 100% number one thing, the love of God. Have you ever thought, though, about Satan and the hate of Satan?
Yeah.
I think it's important to think about.
Yes.
Why? Why does Satan hate you so much? Well, why does the devil hate us? Like, what's this whole thing all about? Like, why did he want to destroy man so bad? If you go through the book of Genesis, and then also in Job, and then in a lot in the New Testament, there's several parts that kind of give hints on this. It says that the sons of God were standing there, and they were admiring as God created the universe. So all the angels were sitting there saying, glory, glory, holy are you, God. Why, he created the universe. Think about this. There's darkness. You're there with God. And all of a sudden, he says, let there be light. You imagine what that would even be like? The first time you see light. Holy are you, God. Holy are you, God. Say the angels. Holy are you, God. And he says, you haven't seen anything yet. And he flung the stars in their place. You imagine their mind just being blown? I believe that God took them down on earth, and that while they're there on earth, he steps down and says, watch this. And he created the water and the land. And as their just minds are being blown, and they're just getting super, holy are you, God. Holy are you, God. I can't believe what we're seeing. God, is there anything you can't do? Just with his words, speaking everything into existence. Imagine that. And then the word says that the devil was God's number one prize. It was his greatest of all creations. Until he creates the animals, and then they see God bend down and start to put the dust together. And I believe this is where Satan starts to turn. I believe he's walking around and saying, this is different. This doesn't look like the stars. This doesn't look like the animals walking around. This is different. And he forms it, puts it together, putting the feet together, putting the hands together. He says, this doesn't look like any of this. This looks like you.
Yeah.
And then he breathes, and Adam sits up. And from right then, God gave him dominion of the earth.
Yes.
And Satan couldn't handle that because you took his place as God's greatest creation.
That's right. He took his place. Amen.
Why does he hate you so bad? Because you took his spot.
Yeah.
Of the greatest of all that God's created.
Yeah.
And gave you dominion of this place. He wanted it back so bad. And you know why sin is such a horrible thing? That we, because we're created in the image of God. And every time that you sin, the devil loves to go to God and say, that's not like you. That's not like you. Well, look what they did. That's why he condemns you. That's why we feel bad when we sin. And it's the devil that's trying to put stuff down on us. You messed up. You screwed up. You're not good enough. You're not. That's what we feel in here. It's not God that puts us that on us. He says that he's thrown your sins as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them no more. He's not the condemner of you anymore. It's the devil trying to put that on you because he hates you. Because you took his place.
Right.
You are number one now in God's eyes.
Right.
You were created in his image. The Amen. Devil never was. No. You were.
Amen.
And he can't handle it.
Amen.
And so he wants to steal, kill, and destroy Amen. From you. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
And we don't think about that. We don't think about everything that it is that was going through Satan's mind. And just, I couldn't imagine of... You know, and now he put, it says Elohim, which means actually God. He said that he's put man a little lower than God. The devil couldn't handle that.
Come
he
on,
couldn't
bro.
Handle it.
Come on.
I want to show this to you because it's important. Because through the fall of man, us getting there, if you read in Job 2, it's a powerful book if you have understanding. Otherwise, you're just depressed. Because they're like, I'm going through a Job trial. Really? What's a Job trial? Well, I don't know. Well, are you saying that you're the most holy one in the land that the devil's attacking you? Is that what you're saying? Well, oh no. Well, I'm going through a Job trial. Does that mean you're going to end up with 10 times more at the end or 7 times more? You better if that's a Job trial. Well, the Lord's really putting me through it. Stop. But if you understand the book of Job, it says in there that the sons of God stood before God, and he was talking, and the devil was there.
Yep.
And he says, where have you been? I said, I'm walking to and fro on the earth. Why was the devil in heaven when he had been kicked out of heaven? Did you ever think about that? Because he had your right now.
Yep.
He took man's right. He took man hostage. You know, if you have a big situation or a hostage situation, the only way, there's a man with a gun. He cannot stand against the whole SWAT team. He's got one option, to take a hostage. The devil could never be God a day in his life. It's not, a lot of people teach like there's this big spiritual battle and it's God against the devil and they're fighting back and forth. You know that God could just be like, squish. It's really that simple. In fact, at the end it says that one of the smallest angels, this guy is going to say, take him and throw him in the pit of hell, and people are going to look at him and say, that was him? That was the one? That's how insignificant he really is. He's like a little chihuahua. Except for if you let him get to you. He's going to puff himself up and pretend to be this big man. You have more authority because of Christ in you than he will ever have.
Woo.
I'm saying more than I'm saying.
That's good.
But the devil and of what God's given to you and that power and the dominion. See, the devil took your right to be there and took us hostage. So I'm telling you this for a reason, because Dominion, I'm going somewhere. If you don't believe me about Dominion, you remember when Jesus was tempted? And I believe that it says that Jesus was tempted because Jesus was tempted. I believe the scripture in that. And it says in Matthew 4, 8 and 9, it says the devil, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. That was a really big mountain to show them all of the kingdoms and their glory. So I believe it's a supernatural thing where the devil was just showing the world at it. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. See, here's the thing from the beginning. What was Jesus' plan to do? Take back what the enemy had stolen. And what was the devil's thing from the beginning? Somebody love me. I feel insignificant now that you've taken my place. Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're God, literally, in the flesh. Bow down to me, and I'll give it all back. Make me feel like something again. Bow down to me, and I'll just give it all back. Yeah. You know, Jesus didn't respond and say, that's not yours.
No, he didn't.
You see, it says that he was tempted, and I believe he was tempted because Jesus didn't want to die on the cross.
No.
It wasn't like he was like, oh, I'm so excited. I think he was tempted because he's like, I get to get everything back if I just bow down. That saves me a lot of time and pain.
Yeah.
But he came back with the word and said, no, it is written. It is written. I love it when Jesus was going to the cross and says, oh, Father, not my will, but your will. My will, please take this cup from me.
Yeah.
But not my will, your will.
Amen.
You see, what he went through for us. But you see, Satan came and said, this is all mine. Pay attention to that. I'll give it to you. Sometimes we ask the questions, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Why wouldn't they? Even more, literally, you're behind enemy lines.
Yeah. Come on.
Think about it.
Right.
We're like, well, I've said this magical prayer, now I'm going to heaven, and now everything should be rainbows and roses in my life. No, you're a target now.
Yeah.
You're behind enemy lines, and you made him mad.
Come on.
It says here in John 12:30, Jesus answered and said, a voice did not come to me or come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out.
Amen.
The ruler of this world will be cast out. You see, we think that God is just in control of everything. And we're like, well, if I'm going through this, God's trying to put something on me. Or if I'm dealing with this, God's trying to put this on me. Who's actually ruling this world? The ruler of this world will be cast out. That's not Jesus. That's not God. That's the devil.
That's the devil.
Taking us as hostage.
Amen.
Amen.
It says it also in John 14:30, I will not talk to you much longer, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me.
Yeah.
Right there, Jesus solved it all. The ruler of this world is coming, but be of good cheer, because he's got nothing in me.
Amen.
See, we can, as Christians, we can say that now. With Christ in the inside, with the hope of glory.
Woo.
With Jesus on the inside, what can't we do?
Amen.
Well, everything is possible with Jesus inside. Why? Because he's taken back keys to hell, death, and the grave.
Amen.
And now he's living on the inside of you. So when he comes against you and you say, man, the ruler of this world is hitting me hard. Be a good cheer. He's got nothing in me. I know who I am in Christ.
Amen.
He's got nothing in me. He can't
Amen.
Be in here. Because Jesus is living in here.
Right.
Think about it. We talk about this all the time. See, what was it that really was happening here? You know, God gave us dominion. He gave us a gift. It says that all of the world, see, God could have just taken it back. He's all powerful. Amen.
Right.
He could have just taken it back. But it says that the word, everything that was spoken into existence.
Right.
So he is bound by his word. It says that the earth and the planets, the universe is held together by his word.
Yeah.
So if he goes against his word, I think everything would just explode.
Yeah.
If it's held together by his word, if he goes against his word,
come on.
His word means nothing.
Amen. Amen.
His word is everything. And so here's, we talk about, well, God's in control of everything. Well, if he was like Thanos, if you've seen the Avengers, and could just snap his fingers and change everything, I can argue that in a second by just saying the word Jesus.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm showing you that God just wouldn't do anything. I couldn't just do anything. I don't believe that God could just snap his fingers, change everything back, in control of everything, and he chose to send his son to be tortured to death. I don't think he's like, I've got a plan A. I know I could do anything, but let's send him to be just tortured and punished. That's a better idea. I want to see what happens. I think he did that because there was no other option. Why? Because he gave man dominion. Why is that? So God had to come down as a
man.
He came down as a man to beat the devil at his own game.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine the devil on earth seeing Jesus walk up? No! It's not possible. Why? He changed him back as a man. The only one that could do it. The only one that was holy enough. Think about this. It's a Christmas story. I always preach at Christmas, and I love the Christmas story. But everybody focuses on Jesus in the manger, and there's a lot of cows, and they're probably going to the bathroom out there. It smells real bad. But that's not my favorite part about the story. My favorite part about the whole story is the angels in the field singing glory to God on the highest.
Yeah.
Why? Because they say one word. They say peace on earth and goodwill towards men.
Yes, amen.
Think about that. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Jesus was here. That meant the war against man and sin was over. Before then, it wasn't peace on earth. It was like, the Lord's angry. Let's swallow up all these Israelites. But now Jesus came, and now when God looks at you, he's not looking at your sin anymore. He's looking at peace on earth and goodwill towards men. That was a promise to you. He's looking at Jesus now. He's looking at you through the blood. It's the same thing as when the Israelites were in Egypt, and they did the angel of death was passing over, the blood over the doorpost. The angel walked by.
Yes.
Now God is not looking at you. He's looking at the blood of Jesus over your life, and he's saying, holy.
Amen.
They are holy. They are righteous in my sight.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Glory.
Amen. Yes.
We are the righteousness of Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Not because what I did.
No.
I'm not too good. The angel of death didn't look inside the door and be like, yeah, you're not supposed to be in here. You're not supposed to be in here. Hey, get outside. I want to get you. He walked by. God said that. I'm going to say this. God said that he throws our sins as far as the east is from the west, and
yes.
I will remember them no more. The devil remembers your sin.
Yes, he does.
You remember your sin.
Yeah.
But God remembers your sin no more. So I want to challenge you with something. When you're going through a hard time and you're feeling like you're nothing and the devil's really coming on to you, and we sometimes feel like, God, I'm not worthy. I'm doing this and this and this and this. I heard a preacher say, I don't remember your sins anymore. Stop reminding me.
Come on. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yep.
If he's forgotten about it, you should too.
Amen.
The devil doesn't want to. It's all the only leverage he's got.
It is. Come on. That's right.
If you remember it, then you'll never do what you're called to do in life.
Ooh, that's good,
if
brother.
If you keep remembering
that's
it,
good.
Then you'll
Come
never
on.
Be. I want to take you to 30, 60, and 100 fold, and you're going to stay below that if you're going to stay in this wallow in self-pity.
Come on.
But God doesn't remember it anymore.
Amen.
He looks at you and sees his son, Jesus, and says, you're qualified.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
In Philippians 4:13, this is Chris's favorite verse.
Amen.
Stop ruining my verse. So Chris uses this verse for everything. We preach this. And he uses it for everything. And it's kind of annoying because it's out of context. But Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
But we're like, hey, I don't know if we're going to make it in time to this event. Philippians 4:13. You're like, what? I don't know if that, okay. Well, should we go play baseball today? It's raining. Philippians 4:13. I don't know if that really... Okay. But anyways, Philippians 4:13, why do I love it so much? Because it says, I can do all things.
Yes.
I can do all things. You see, we sit back a lot of times in church and we're like, God, do this. God, won't you do this? He's saying, I did that 2,000 years ago.
Come
believe
on,
my word.
Come on, that's
believe
good.
My word. Yeah. I paid it all. Believe my word. So now I can do all things. How? Through Christ.
Amen.
Without Christ, not too special. With Christ. And we've got a church that says, you're nothing without Christ. You're nothing without Christ. You're nothing without Christ. That's great. That's true. But it doesn't apply to us, does it? Are you without Christ?
No.
Man. No. So if we're with Christ, then the opposite must be true, that I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me.
Yeah.
You're everything with Christ.
Yes.
And he's with you. He'll never leave you. For saying, what can separate us from the love of God?
Nothing.
And so we walk around and we're like, well, you go right back into the law, which we talked about last night. Well, and you try to put it on you. You don't know what I did. Neither does God. You don't know what I did the other day. Neither does God. Because he's forgiven you.
Come on, brother. That's good.
And now, look at it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because you have dominion on this earth. God has blessed you. You see,
amen.
The way that God had to change things, think about this. The way that God had to change things and be the devil at his own game was to come down as a man.
Yes. Yeah.
He came down as Jesus. Now, Jesus said, it's about to get really good because I'm going to go to my Father.
Yes,
amen. I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to send you the Helper. Yes. So how does God change things now?
Woo!
The Holy Spirit in man.
Yes, glory.
We believe that God is fully God, right?
Yes, amen.
We believe that Jesus is fully God, right?
Yes.
And we believe that the Holy Spirit is fully God.
Yes.
Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you?
Yes.
So think about it. Jesus could do many miracles because he was fully God and fully man. He was fully God with almighty power.
Yes.
He was fully man with authority on this earth. Together, he was able to do many miracles. The Holy Spirit living in you, you are fully man with fully what? Living on the inside?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you can grasp that.
Yes.
Jesus was your prototype.
Yes.
To show you what was possible.
Amen.
To show you what was possible.
Amen.
You are now fully God and fully man. Fully man with fully God on the inside, waiting to come out in power.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
He's waiting for you to open your mouth. Think about it. Just for a moment. Think about dominion for a moment. And everything else makes sense. Think about it. Speaking in tongues. I don't care what you believe for a moment. But just think about this for a moment. Speaking in tongues. To me, that's really weird in the natural. Right? I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what's happening. Well, the Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. And I don't even know what it is. Well, Holy Spirit, why don't you just pray for me? As long as I don't even know what's happening, just pray for me. The Holy Spirit is using your authority in this word. So when you open your mouth and you start to pray and the Holy Spirit comes through that, it's fully God, it's all powerful, using your dominion and your words. So when you start to speak in tongues and you start to pray, you start to actually do things. You go and pray for somebody. That's why Jesus said, go lay hands on the sick. And they will be healed. Go do this. Go do that. Why? Because it's you having your dominion in the earth with God flowing through you.
Right. Right, man.
It changes everything. Because then we don't sit back and we're like, well, whatever you want to do, God. He's like, I want to do everything. Please start moving. Please participate.
That's good.
I've commanded you to do this. Why did he command us to do it? Because he gave us dominion.
Yeah, that's right.
It changes everything. Read this right here. It's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I love this. This will change your life. See, before I go to Matthew. Yeah, I'm going to go to Matthew right now. And then I'll go back and hit on this. It's so good, you guys. I get so excited. I read this and just almost wet myself sometimes during my devotions. What are you saying? We get to do this. All right. All right, Matthew. It's too much too soon. Hey, we're family. We're friends, right? We can be honest. We're no better than anybody else. We all got the same Jesus inside of us, right? All right. pastors and preachers, they're just the same. They're just up here willing to step out and make a fool of myself. I tell people, when I'm preaching to myself. If you want to listen, go ahead. When I get down or I get upset, I start to just preach. And I'm like, I'll preach to myself because I know what I need to do. It's right there. I just don't always follow it because you get in your own head for a bit. So I'm going to preach to myself. And if you want to listen, go ahead. But Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is so powerful if you get it. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Stop for a minute. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Both places. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So, all authority, everything was given to Jesus. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do.
That's right.
Everything was given to Jesus. So, then flip over to John 16, 14 and 15. This is going to just, we'll probably just have revival in a moment. I mean, you probably won't contain yourselves. It says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you."
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
All authority on heaven and earth was given to Jesus.
Yes.
Everything that was Jesus was now given to you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Think about that for a moment. If that doesn't blow your mind. Everything, let's skip the middleman here. Everything that was God's is now yours.
Amen.
Everything that God has, he's now placed inside of you so that he can change this world through you. He had to come down as a man to change it and fix things. And now he's able to send the Holy Spirit because Jesus died and paid the price. Yes. So we don't have to go to hell anymore.
Amen.
So that now we are the redeemed of the Lord. Dominion is now inside of the believers.
Amen.
Dominion was taken from man by the devil, held hostage, and now it was given back to the believers.
Yes, amen.
Everything, all power on heaven and earth, given to you.
Yes.
If you believe it.
Yep.
If you're willing to move on it.
Come on.
Everything that was God's was given to you. Freely you have been given, so freely give. Freely you receive, so freely give.
Yes.
Now it's different. Now we can walk up and say, I can do all things through Christ,
yes,
who strengthens me. Yes. Now we walk up and people are begging at the gate and say, can we have some money? And we say, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I can give you. Get up and walk.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
What I've got,
woo,
I'm not going to beg God for it. It's what I've got.
Yeah.
Freely, I was given, so freely I can give.
Amen. Woo.
It's God moving through me.
Yes.
Without him, I'm nothing, but I've got him. And so I've got all, everything in heaven is now mine. Get up and walk.
Amen.
It's powerful.
Yes.
It changes it. Go back to Psalms 107 and 2, and it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You see, once you start to hear dominion, everything else makes sense. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We used to sing that song in church all the time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ever sing that?
Yeah.
Both of you could. And everyone would yell, so! And I'm like, what? Why are we yelling the word so? I don't think that's not what that song means. It's saying, those who are redeemed of the Lord now have dominion again and get to call the shots. Because the devil, Jesus took it back from the devil. And now he's living on the inside of you.
Yeah.
The devil was defeated, and now with Jesus inside of you, you get to call the shots.
Yeah.
You get to say so.
Yeah.
So when the devil comes up to steal, kill, and destroy from you, you say, not today.
Come
That's
on.
Not part of my
Come
new
on.
Covenant.
Come
That's
on.
Not what I signed up for. I've got Christ living inside of me,
yes,
the hope of glory. Everything that was heaven is mine. That shalom that we talked about with the healing and prosperity and health and all of that is now mine.
Yes.
Jesus' peace is yes, now mine. Jesus' shalom is now mine because it was left for me. And so now I get to say so.
That's right. Yeah,
so when you try to attack me, I don't have to put up with it.
That's right.
And I'm not saying there won't be hard days, because there will be. But that's when you get to stand up and you get to stand on the promises of God.
Yes.
And say, I'm not going to put up with this. Now, we do not sit there and we pray for people as far as, God, will you please heal this? Will you do this? We speak to sickness and we say, you must go.
Yeah.
It's different. We speak to the illness and you say, you must go in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Every name is under the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And if your disease or sickness or illness or problem has a name, then it can be under the name of Jesus.
Yeah,
and if you don't know its name, give it a name and put it under the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because every name is under the name of Jesus.
Yes, it is. Every name.
So we tell cancer, you can't be here.
No.
You have to go in the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes. Must go in the name of
it's
Jesus.
It's our faith. It's what God's given us. When we get that revelation of dominion and God wanting to move through us in power.
Yeah.
He's all powerful.
Yes,
we're
amen.
Not. But he's living on the inside of us wanting to move through. And if you understand the way he set it up, it'll change your life. Because then we don't sit back anymore feeling helpless of like, well, I'm nothing, I'm nowhere, well, I'm getting hit hard. Well, this must be a test that God's, maybe this is a Job trial. Maybe I'm like, I'm Paul and I've got a thorn in my flesh. I could preach for an hour and a half on the thorn in the flesh.
Yeah.
But it's not what you think it is.
Yeah.
It was persecution. Because it talked about a thorn in the flesh several other times. Paul did through scripture, and it was always persecution. I won't go there. If we understand the power of God and what he wants, all that he's given us, that we can be victorious, paid it all.
Amen.
We feel like we've been left stranded and helpless, and we always cry, God, where are you? Where are you? God, I don't feel you. I don't see you. God, what's going on? If you knew what he placed on the inside of you, we just got to get it to come alive with our faith.
Amen.
For some of us, have been just sitting in there dormant for a long time. We need to stir the gifts of God.
Amen.
It's a muscle. We have weak Christians out there because they haven't been using their muscles.
Yeah.
We have Christians that don't know who they are in Christ. He said it last night. But the devil's not afraid of who you are in Christ. He knows. He's afraid you'll figure it out.
Come on.
Because if you figure it out, game over.
Yes.
He can't touch you anymore.
Amen.
And that's when he'll attack you 10 people out.
Amen.
If he can't get to you, he'll go to the next closest thing. Everyone on our team, I say, pray 10 people out. Because people can stop the blessing. People have authority. They have dominion. They can stop things. We were in a band, and I was believing for a bus. And I was just like, God, you need to send us a bus. We need a bus. So we're going to decide to fast and pray. Because if we starve ourselves, then obviously God's going to hear our prayer and answer it. So that's why I thought fasting was. You know, I'll fast and pray, I'll starve myself. God, I'm really hungry. Can't you answer my prayer now? God, if you don't answer quickly, I'll die. I'm like, what? It's like the Pharisees are putting ash and tearing their clothes in front of just a bunch of big babies. But as we were doing this, and finally after months and months and months, somebody gave us a check that was for $10,000. So I was like that. I was like, woo, we can get a bus. But if you know anything about buses, a $10,000 bus is not a, woo! It's a, oh dear Jesus, be with us today. It's a, Lord, you brought us closer to you because we're praying every day now. But that bus got us through some years of travel, years of touring. It was a good bus. It really was. It was a miracle bus. But 5 years after I was out of the bus, I met a man, very well-off man, and he said to me, hey, I know you. And he's like, are you in this one band? I said, yeah. He's like, hey, well, 5 years ago or whatever the time was, he's like, I had a bus. And I didn't know what to do with it anymore. It was an $800,000 Prevo bus. And I called your guys' church to give you the bus. And your pastor said you didn't need it. You're working on something. What'd you guys get? I'm like, oh. Don't tell me those stories.
Wow.
with you. I missed out on what God had for me because of people.
Yeah.
Stupid people. Stupid people in the church sometimes. Pray people out. Pray 5-6 people out, because if the devil can't stop you once you know who you are in Christ, he'll affect those around you. Like, and that's why he says you're not warring against flesh and blood. We sometimes think, this coworker, dear Jesus, be with me now, because they won't be soon. Dear Lord. But we realize that the devil's using them to get at us. So we bless them. We bless them. We pray for them. Because if the devil can't get you, he'll get the next best thing.
Yeah.
Poke at your side. Why is my wife always angry now? Got it. Why is, you know, you can go through anything that you're going through and realize there's something behind it, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
So pray 10 people out. Pray in the Spirit. That's what it is. Your authority on earth, changing earth while the Holy Spirit is moving through your dominion. He's using your words and your lips and the power that's in your words. That's why I will never speak negative about anything.
Come on.
You hear people, when it rains, it pours. It looks like your words are working. And if it's not bad, it's worse. Oh, I don't know if I would say that.
Yeah.
You know, what are you prophesying over your life?
Come on.
You know, you're like, how are you doing today? Well, how much time do you have? It's real bad, brother. Oh, I guess I don't have much time. I don't hear about it. Somebody asked me to pray for this gal, and they're like, she has cancer, and she's going to die. Will you come and pray for her? And it was friends of mine, not the lady, but they were asking me to do this. And I said, no, I don't want to. And they're like, what? I said, she died a year ago. Like, what are you talking about? I said, she died a year ago, and now she's just waiting for the rest of it. Well, no, what do you mean? She's still alive. No, what did you all say? You said she's dying. She said she was dying. She said there's no hope. You guys were believing for healing while picking out her casket. They went to and picked out her casket. The church came over, the pastor prayed with her, and then went with her to pick out her casket. I don't want to be a part of that. How am I going to fight all your faith? You're believing for it.
Come on.
You're going to believe for a miracle while you go pick out the clothes that she's going to be buried in?
That's good. Come on.
Help us, Lord. That's it. Come on, brother.
That's good, brother.
What you don't need is me to pray. You need to renew your mind.
That's right.
You need to renew your mind.
Yes.
If I got cancer, God forbid, it would never happen. But if I did, what I would do is listen to the word and not tell one person. I would listen to the word over and over and over again. We get all these like, hey, Facebook, guess what? I've got a disease. I'm going to die. Say prayers. You know, click like. Oh, that's a prayer. That's a prayer. That's a prayer. What are we talking about? You're getting more people to gossip and talk death over you.
Yeah.
You think they're going to go and say, oh, they're blessed. They're highly favored. They're whatever. No, they're saying, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? They've got cancer and they're done for. We were saying a prayer for them. Great. I'd rather have 2 or 3 people that know who they are in Christ, just a close-knit group, and say, hey, the doctors have lied to me. They said that I've got this. I'm believing that I'm the righteousness of Christ, and that I was by his stripes, I was healed. And so would you stand with me on that? And they speak life over you, and they pray over you. I know so many people who were supposed to die that are still running around preaching now because they did that, and they stood on the word instead of, well, this looks bad. We'll see. And I preached that at your church the one time. And when I was there in Hebrews, it talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
The evidence of things not seen. And I didn't get that verse. I never got it. I didn't understand it. But faith is actually a substance, which means matter or a material. Faith is actually what creates.
Yeah.
And faith is also the evidence of things not seen. If you want to believe in what you can't see, you have to look at the evidence. And what's the evidence? It's your faith. Why? Because it's actually building it. it's actually creating it. And we stop production way too often on what was being built. And that is aborting your miracle.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been fully formed. It hasn't fully come to pass. And you stop belief on it, and it stops production on it. Because we stand up and we're saying, God, I believe for this, I believe for this. Well, it didn't happen. You know, Jesus came by, looked at the tree, and he cursed it. And then just walked on by, nothing happened. Came back the next day, and it was dead. Why? Because when he spoke, it died at the root.
Yeah.
And it took time to show. So when you get healed or you get something happens, it may have happened right now in the natural and is manifesting in it and it's taking its time. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
They will recover.
Yes.
Not, oh, look at it, it's a miracle every single time. It happened instantly. No, you stand on the promise of God until it does manifest because your faith is actually creating it.
Yes, amen.
And so for me, I wouldn't want this prayer chain. We do prayer chains because we think the more people that are praying, then God will actually listen. Think about it. Do you think God's actually up there like, man, there's 47, I need at least 50. If you don't text three more people, I'm not going to answer this. What are you talking about? That post has three likes? Like I'm going to answer that.
That's good. That's good, brother.
I'm going to have three people who know who they are in Christ. Yes. Pray for me and stand for me so I get my miracle and my breakthrough.
Yes.
The world doesn't need to know what I'm going through because they don't know what I know. They're going to speak nothing but death and doubt over my life. And I don't have time for that. Why? Because it's life and death. It's life and death. And I don't have time for them to be gossiping about me behind my back. I want some Christian brothers who know how to pray it through. To speak life and to command that sickness gone. Not sit there and beg God. God, will you do this? Yes, I did it 2,000 years ago. God, will you do this? Yes, I did it 2,000 years ago. By my stripes, you are healed. God, will you do this? I guess he's not listening. He's like, oh, if only I would have left a book. There's power in the word.
Yes, there is.
There's power in the word. When you understand the word, you can use it as a sword, a double-edged sword. Why? Because it's dangerous.
Man.
It's dangerous. You can actually get something done with it. If you don't know how to use it, most of us are running around with a pool noodle as our sword. Hey, back, devil. I'm just keeping thinking. So I better shut this down.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, we're going to pray for people. The Holy Spirit didn't know. He thinks I'm funny.
That's right.
We're going to pray for some people because I believe that God wants to touch people.
Yes.
I know he does. Lord, why? Yes. Because it's in his covenant. He'd already paid for it.
Paid for it.
We might as well receive it.
It's a done deal.
It's already paid for me. My Father gave me all things in heaven and on earth.
Yep, that's what he said.
All things. So, we're going to pray for people. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see breakthrough.
Woo, man.
We're going to do that. I do want to, before we close out the night in that, I do want to say we're going to do a love offering. So, if you guys want to stand with us and see the kingdom movement, see this message. There's not a lot of people preaching this message.
That's right.
There's not a lot of churches. That's why we partner with you guys. That's why we partner with the churches around here, is because you guys are preaching the gospel. You know, there's a lot of churches you go in there and they're like, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. But what are you? We're believers. Okay?
Come on.
We don't believe. We don't believe. We don't believe. Yeah, we're believers. Oh, okay. Well, don't tell the world that. Keep it a secret. I want to say to those churches sometimes, hide it under a bushel, yes. Don't let anybody else know. You've got some bad teaching in you.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's destructive. It really does wreck people's lives. I talk to so many broken people. Man, my wife has a cleaning company. And for her tithe, she will clean houses for free. She'll clean, but they're houses of parents that have like 2 or 3 year olds that have cancer and they say they're gonna die. And so she'll go, because they're spending so much time at the hospital, her and her company will go and clean these houses. And she's in there vacuuming, cleaning, praying over these kids, trying to do it as secretly as she can, and just speaking life over them. But these mothers, she had a Christian mother, and she just kept speaking life over this kid. But the parents just kept speaking death over them, and death. And it's like, how do you fight that? Like, they just need a new revelation of the word. Like, he's like, well, this is just God's will, and you know, we're believing that he's a sovereign God, and if it's his will, then they'll be healed, and if it's his time to go, then it's his time to go. And you're like, it's a two-year-old. You're thinking that God needs him in heaven right now?
Come on, bro.
You're thinking that God's timing is right now for your two-year-old. You don't think that. I know what you're saying, and it gives you some kind of peace and comfort, but what you're saying is you don't even believe it. How can I say that? Because they're going to the hospital every single day and spending everything they have. If you're saying it's the will of God, are you spending your life savings to save your child to fight the will of God? Think about it. You don't actually believe it. It just brings some comfort. So change your thinking and start to agree with the word. Start to agree with
the word.
She came home one day bawling because the kid did pass away. But I mean, she's been able to pray and speak life, and we're trying to give them teaching and stuff. But that teaching kills. It kills so many people. It keeps you down. You know, just sit back and just see what happens. If it's God's will, you just get better. What? Why did he pay it all then?
Come on, brother.
Why did he pay for it if it's maybe his will?
That's right, man.